than a cackle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A wonderful weekend. Man, is it a wonderful weekend. Good thing the parks are open. That's all I got to say. Trailer parks, too, Stephen.
No, they're closed.
No, they opened.
Well, not the trailer park I'm at.
Well, we've got to talk about that because we have somebody on the program that can address that issue. I thought I read trailer parks.
No, they're open to like open up the trailer, but you can't stay overnight.
Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
What kind of bull is that?
I know. It's kind of annoying.
Anyways, welcome to the program. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Outdoor Journal, Angela Viola, Stephen Labadie for the last time. For a while.
You'll hear my voice for the last time.
Stephen Labadie. And of course, Derek Brandeo at headquarters, keeping us honest today.
Yes.
A wonderful program. I mentioned somebody will be on to talk to us about parks opening. And before we get to that, let me tell you about the FNC contest.
Yes.
FNC contest. The Mercury 2.5 outboard motor is in stage number four.
You catch me off guard every time, and I have to double check.
Stage number four, I believe. We have 10 to give away, and we have given away, three. So a fourth one coming up shortly, the end of the month. And all you have to do is go to fishingcanada.com, enter your ballot free of charge. Just answer the skill testing question. If you don't know the answer, push the hint button. It will take you to the answer. And then said answer can be put in your ballot. And it will be dropped in the virtual drum. And you will have a chance to win the Mercury 4-stroke beautiful outboard motor. Mm-hmm. Along with a multitude of others, of course, who are doing the same thing. And, of course, they are also going to come back the next day and put a ballot in the box. Because they can do that every 24 hours. Same conditions, free of charge. You just have to make a little effort to go in and spend the 2 minutes it takes to do that. So chances are real good that if you don't go in there often, you know, your odds are down. That's all. It doesn't mean you can't win. Somebody's going to win with only one ballot in there yet before this whole thing's over. But I'd rather not take a chance if I was that person. and, of course, while you're there, hey, you're already there, then just skip over to the boat motor trailer, the Princecraft giveaway. And enter a ballot there, free of charge, same conditions, answer a skill testing question, answer provided if you don't have the answer, and Bob is your uncle. Same thing. And then you come back, do it tomorrow, and you're entered into both of them with multiple ballots. It's as easy as it gets.
That's simple.
It's all happening on fishingcanada.com. It's the old two-for-one. Two for one.
Exactly.
Two for the price of one. The price of one in this case is free. But we're going to give you two for free, two entries for free. There you go. That's it. This week's guests. Whoa, what a lineup we've got.
It's huge.
Holy smokes. Buck Martinez, former Major League Baseball catcher, manager, television play-by-play announcer, broadcaster for the Toronto Blue Jays will be joining us. Buck and I will discuss, among other things, our passion that we share for fishing. Buck is one of those fishing nuts that had to squeeze in a little baseball in between fishing adventures. So we'll talk, and a lot of people don't know that about Buck, but he's an avid outdoors person, just loves fishing. And of course, an illustrious career in the majors and now in broadcast. He's an award-winning broadcaster, actually. So we'll talk to him about that and a whole bunch more. I mentioned parks. And that somebody was coming on.
Yes.
That'll straighten us out. Because back in March, the government made a decision to shut down Ontario parks to protect visitors and, of course, staff during the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, this week, provincial parks and conservation reserves in Ontario reopened to the public. Yay! Big applause. Yay! Thank you, Sheila. Doesn't mean your last show doesn't mean that you don't have to push the button.
I was watching the show there.
Yeah. reopened to the public for limited recreational use. And Minister of the Environment, Conservation and Parks, the Honorable Jeff Urich, will be joining us. Now, if you, folks who are regular listeners to the program, you know Jeff's been on the show numerous times.
Yes.
In his previous position as Minister of Natural Resources. And prior to that, he was on the show as the critic for the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry.
Yeah.
So he's no stranger to you listening audience. Anyways, he'll be on the program to tell us exactly what is open and what's not open, and if Steve can go up to the trailer park.
Yeah, that's important.
Right? Our good friend, Daryl Kranze, will be on the program. Of course, he is the former host of Going Fishing, a television show, and editor of Ontario's Fishing Bible for years, the Ontario Fisherman Magazine. Daryl was a special guest of ours yesterday.
Yes.
On a podcast that we did, and he did not disappoint the audience. Let me just tell you, he'll be on the program today to talk to us about all good things Kranzenator wise. May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Sarah told me that yesterday. I'm like, oh.
We actually have a Lyme Disease Month now.
It's perfect.
Which is cool. I like that. And it happens to be May. So this is obviously a very important issue with us, and we thought we would highlight it by bringing somebody on who can talk to us about all of the wonderful things that we need to know about not getting in trouble with the tick, the dreaded black-legged tick.
Small little things.
Yeah. Emily Norris Ruseman. From the biology department of Queen's University will be joining us to talk to us about that and a whole lot more, a lot of grounds to cover. Yes, but first, I dropped my paper on the ground.
Oh, yeah, that's what the noise was.
That's why I was falling. I was trying to reach it. I like that. When I go away from the mic, it doesn't sound the same.
Well, no.
Cool. Anyways, what was I saying? Yes, a little behind-the-scenes look at Canada's nationally televised, the most favorite fishing program on the planet. It's called The Fish in Canada Show, and it's on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast, as we speak. Another crazy, wonderful episode. This time I am with my grandson. Hey, I'm on the show.
You are.
Look at me. I'm on the episode. With my lovely grandson, Nick, we ventured down to Nova Scotia in search of striped bass. Stripers. The uniqueness of this episode is that we literally have to wait for the Bay of Fundy to fill up before we can go out and fish. And then we got to get off before it empties out or we can't get the boat out of the water. So that part, that in itself is kind of a unique Fish in Canada episode, but a great, great show. We're using really heavy equipment. The cool part about this is that I'm doing, you know, arguably my most favorite way to fish is drop shotting. Mm-hmm. But drop shotting is normally sort of a light presentation, a finesse presentation. Well, this is taking drop shotting totally on steroids. 100-pound test line, 3-pound weights. It's just insanity. And it's going on right now on Global Television Network as we speak. It's called Fundy Stripers on the Rocks. If you're not watching that,
go to www.fishingcanada.com, click on episode schedule, the next broadcast date's right there, or check it out on Global BC Channel at 1 o'clock.
That is correct. Boy, we're blowing through this segment this morning.
I know. Like, I don't think we have Brad yet.
I know.
So we have to buy some time
I'm in
here.
A hurry. It's beautiful weather. I want to go outside. I'm going to spend as much time outside as I possibly can.
Oh, I know.
That might mean some work around the house, but that's okay. I will succumb to that as long as I can spend it outdoors. Mm-mm. Yes, sirree, Bobby. Time for a little in-house safety with our in-house safety expert. His name is Bradley Storff. Good morning, Brad.
How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. Thank you for asking. I'm glad somebody cares about me.
I asked you this morning.
Oh, did you?
Even on air.
I probably wasn't listening to you.
It's the normal routine, I say.
I listen
How
to Brad.
You doing today?
I listen to Brad. You don't care. You just say it. You just throw it out there. You don't really care about it. But I know Brad cares about me. Right, Brad?
Steve cares. Last show, and Steve's expressing how much he cares, and you're giving him the gears.
By the way, I'm looking around waiting for Sean Kelly to pop out of a, pop out of a closet here any minute. But
I thought there was a big breakfast soiree being planned for Steve's last day.
Yeah.
His excuse was it's the long weekend. So
the long weekend just popped up on him.
Yeah, I can hear him crack a beer right now.
So much for that idea. Oh, wow. What are you going to do? Long weekend ahead, my friend. Are you any special plans for you?
Well, I was out, and I'm just kind of dripping wet right now because I hurried out to the bush, thought I'd sit and maybe try a little turkey hunting before the show, and it was raining. And, you know, I'm kind of like a house cat that way. I'm not that fond of rain, so I may sit and sulk for a little while. But other than that, it's good. It's going to be probably go again tomorrow. Hope it's
so
not
raining. How many turkey are you allowed?
Two.
Okay, so you're looking for your second one, because I know you got one.
I got one already, so I'm looking for my second one. But today was not a successful look. It's a farm that I've had permission for years, haven't been on there for a year or so, decided I'd go in and nothing there, so other than getting everything wet. So I get to dry my stuff out this afternoon. It's all good.
Nice. I take a turkey do not like wet?
They don't mind the wet too bad. In fact, they'll come out away from the bush a bit when it's raining. They really depend on their eyesight and their hearing for survival, so they don't like being where it's noisy. They'll come out more into a field when it's raining. But it stopped raining. It was just misty and wet and miserable.
I want to talk to you about the safety blitz that is slowly going to be, I think it's up on us already by the OPP, because I was alarmed at these stats that just came out that they've laid more than 70 street racing charges and 18 impaired driving charges between May 4th and May 11th. What is going on?
So there's a national thing. Canada Road Safety Week is on from the 12th to the 18th. So that's where kind of all the police agencies across the country get together, not just the police agencies, but the other interested parties too, because there's a lot of education and awareness involved too. But they get together to try and emphasize traffic safety. And it overlaps with Safe Boating Week that we'll get to in a minute. But so far this year, year to date, in OPP jurisdiction alone, there have been 71 fatal motor vehicle collisions. That's up by 10 from the same year to date last year. And a surprising or high number of them are speed related.
Do you think, I'm reading and hearing about stories about street racers coming out of the woodwork. Is it because there's nobody on the street, or they just don't think that law enforcement is out on the street?
I think the popular theories are yes and yes. But, you know, like tremendous rates of speed, 308 kilometers an hour. That's like, bar none, that's the fastest I've ever heard of anybody being nicked for speeding. And it's a kid in mom and daddy's Mercedes.
Wow.
Yeah, like, and he tells the officer that stops him he can handle it. That's 191 miles an hour for those of us that still think that way.
Oh,
191.
That's NASCAR speed.
That's fast.
Holy.
It's funny because I hear, I live on Brock by Brock and Kingston and Pickering, and there's a police station right there. And at night I hear, meow, and all of a sudden you hear the cops go off because the cop station's right beside where they're flying
by. Although conventional thought on that is that the best place, if you're going to commit a crime, the best place to do it is in front of a cop shop, right? I mean, let's be honest. We've always said that.
Close by.
You know what I mean? Am I right?
Come on now. Well, let's not get into these cliches like that. The worst place to go and try and rob is Tim Hortons, too.
True. That's true. Good point. Anyways, crazy. That's insanity out there, man. I don't know what to... Go ahead.
And, you know, just being the purveyor of so much more good news, so last week reported that there had been three fatal boating incidents in OPP jurisdiction. And one of the things that that you mentioned was about the how early in the season it happens. Well, coincidentally, as part of one of the Safe Boating Week announcements, because it's Safe Boating Week starts today, and... but one of the announcements, they point out that in the last 10 years, 229 people in OPP jurisdiction have died in fatal boating incidents. 41 of those are between January and May.
Oh, really? That early?
Yeah.
And Brad, do we have stats on how many of those did not have a life jacket involved?
80%.
80%.
Oh, yeah, 80% of the whole shooting match, not just the ones in January to May. And another thing, so last week we talked about the three people that have lost their lives. Now it's up to at least five, because there's another two people on off Manitoulin Island three or four days ago. Same thing, capsized canoe, no PFDs.
In a canoe. Yeah. That one just blows my mind. I mean, listen, you know how I feel about it. If you're in any kind of a vessel, you put on some flotation device or other, but in a canoe or a kayak, like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, what are these people? Like, I don't get it.
You know, this is another thing that we could beat up to death because of the numbers of people that defend the benignness of a canoe, kayak, paddle boat, etc. And you know, it harkens back to the Supreme Court's arguments about whether a canoe is a vessel, and people still want to hold on to that, no, it isn't, you know, about the impaired driving part. And when the pleasure craft operator card system was being percolated at the start, and unfortunately I was really involved in that percolation, but the immediately there was no appetite whatsoever to address non-powered vessels, yet non-powered vessels are the majority of boating fatalities are non-powered vessels.
And what is the thinking on that, Brad? That non-powered vessels are safer because why?
Because you can't go as fast, I guess. I don't really know, because there's no statistical validity to the fact that you're safer in a canoe or a kayak than you are in a 40-foot Regal.
Well, no, in all fairness to the 40-foot Regal owner, I'm going to disagree with you. I think you're much safer in that 40-foot Regal.
Absolutely, that's what I meant. So if I said it wrong, it's just because I'm a little bit dyslexic. But that's exactly what I'm saying here. Although a lot more people spend a lot more time in canoes than in 40 and 50 and 60-foot boats. That's a matter of fact. But that conveyance itself, not being operated, and it's not a matter of operating properly. It's just dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. And the simple fix is to wear a PFD. It's that easy. It's that simple. Yeah.
And it's not just if you don't know what you're doing, by the way. I've seen many a time spending all the years I did in Algonquin Park and portaging through the bowels of that wonderful park, many a time, expert canoeists tipping quite often. So it's not just a matter of novice people and inexperience. I mean, it happens. A canoe is one of those vessels that stuff happens, and when it happens very quickly.
And I don't profess to be too much of an expert at anything, but I would qualify myself as an expert in a canoe, mostly from fishing and spending countless hours in them, and I've had a lot of unexpected swims out of a canoe,
too. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, anyways, my friend, we will keep waving the flag, I guess. It's the only way we can do.
We just keep plugging away.
All right. You go get yourself a turkey or whatever it is you're going to be doing on this long weekend. She's a long one, buddy.
I think the next outdoor adventure might be seeing if my lawnmower will start.
Yeah, I think I'm right behind you on that one.
Talk to you later, Steve.
Talk to you later, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bradley Schlarf, in-house safety expert, playing it safe. Retired, former, no longer with the Ontario Provincial Police. More Journal after this, don't you dare go away.